Will the House please come to order? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers. Childers. Childers excused. Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery. Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway. Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Kimball.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lebno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Semlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
57 present, 3 excused.
Ladies and gentlemen, after the Pledge of Allegiance this morning, please stay in your seats because we have a special guest who's going to sing the national anthem for us. So with that, the prayer today will be given by Representative Harshman.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, Creator of the universe, on our last day in this house, we give all praise and glory to you. We recognize that any accomplishments or good deeds that we have done are the work of your hands. We ask for your protection of our brothers and sisters serving in our armed forces. We ask, O Lord, that as we leave here today, you instill in us an attitude of gratitude, that we reflect and give thanks for the tremendous blessings you have bestowed on our state, our nation, and our people. We ask, O Lord, that as we return to our communities, that you make us perfect examples of servant leadership. And we take comfort in the book of Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In humble gratitude, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join. Joining us this morning in the House is Wyoming Junior Miss Betsy Plemons. Betsy is a senior at Cheyenne East High School and was named the state's Junior Miss in November of 2009. She plays the alto saxophone in the school's jazz band and is a member of the East High Choir. She has received the bronze, silver, and gold congressional awards and is a third-year Cheyenne Frontier Days dandy. She is joining us on this last day of the session to sing our national anthem. Betsy, you may have the floor.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Thank you.
Come here, Betsy. Thank you very much, Betsy.
Thank you.
Nice shoes, too. Come here. No, come here. Just a sec. Thank you for sharing your talents with us, and good luck in the Junior Miss competition this summer and as you pursue your career in music and communications. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thanks for having
yeah,
me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will the House please come back to order? Chairman Berger, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, folks, I'm getting ready to hit the road this morning, but I couldn't leave without helping my speaker, your speaker, celebrate his 51st birthday today. So, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to wish you a happy birthday from the House. We have some big chocolate chip cookies. We figured we still need to sweeten him up a bit before the day is over. So come on down here. And
I don't feel that sweet today.
Well, I know you don't, Mr. Speaker, but this is your cookie, and you don't even have to share this one because we have our own. So happy birthday, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. It would take me a month to eat it, so I do need help.
Yeah, you can save some in the car, you know, and then every day you can find a little snack periodically through that.
Great, yeah.
But happy birthday. And we have a song for you, a brief one here.
Let's all sing happy birthday to Colin or Mr. Speaker, whatever you're going to do.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, thank you.
Beach.
What do you say about your birthday? It's really been great. I'm glad to have another birthday. I hope I have a lot more. But no, thank you. It's been great the last couple of years having my birthday at the last day of the session. My birthday will be much greater when my wife and kids show up. So
where are they?
They're traveling down here. They should be here any time, and I'm sure they'll want to help eat the cookie. But I do need help with the cookie, so please join in. I don't know, Rosie, if you want to shoot this back to the back.
That's
what we should do. We should.
We got some concurrences and real work to do.
Yeah, we have a little more work to do, and I'll have some.
Birthday.
Thank you. I'll have some other words later today. Thanks so much. Representative Brechtel, you may have privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, fellow representatives, I want to let you introduce to you my sister, who is in the west balcony with her husband, my sister Jenny and her husband Dean. Would you please stand up for us?
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Thompson, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, as of 2 days ago, I'd like to have you stand and applaud my bride of 37 years up there, Rita. I love you, Rita.
Good morning, Rita. Representative Brown, you may have privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, not that she needs a lot of introduction, but my wife is in the gallery, Margaret, and she's responsible for most of the good in me and little of the bad. So please give her a welcome, my wife.
Welcome, Margaret. Representative Peasley, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Converse County, number 13 on your license plate, number 13 in your hearts. It is not my birthday, but I am really pleased I finally did find family and friends to come the last day to watch us. And in the South Gallery is my eldest daughter, Christine Schenkel, my grandson, Alex Schenkel, and his good buddy, Connor Mulkin, both of those boys. Fifth grade at the Resurrection Christian School down in Loveland, Colorado, and I'd like you all to welcome them to the House of Representatives. Thank you.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Representative Dirks, you may have privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Directly behind me, my wife, Becky. Thanks for coming down, Becky, and I appreciate you helping me out today. Help me hold it together. Thank you.
Welcome, Becky. We know Ross too well. He won't be able to hold it together. Representative Cohey, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A few million here and a few million there, and pretty soon you're talking about some real money. The sheet that I sent around the other day left a few things off, like business-ready communities and investment-ready communities, and so we can add another about $50 million to the figure that I gave you. So there will be another distribution coming around to what our legislature does in partnership with our local governments.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think we have jurisdiction, and I've been thinking about this, and I want to make a motion to change everybody's birthday to some day during the session, so we all get happy birthdays.
All those in favor? Those opposed? Motion dies. We are at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 4, 2010 has been read, recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Mr. Reading Clerk, those Journal Committee reports have been stellar all session. Thank you for that. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 283, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revisions. The Senate adopted the Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. No, just they've adopted. Message 284, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 36, the Gillette-Madison Water Project. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill list by the vote indicated, ayes 28, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 285, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessments. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed by the vote indicated, ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 286, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill list by the vote indicated. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. There's 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. And signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 287, Mr. Speaker, Senate House Bill 18, Aquatic Invasive Species. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 288, Mr. Speaker, the Senate File 22, State Active Duty Medical Expense. The Senate adopted the Joint Committee Conference report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated, ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 289, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 13, Economic Analysis. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 by the vote indicated, ayes 24, noes 5, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. The first, on message number 283, it was ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. That's on the Senate File 18, Limited Liability Companies Revisions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge 4 very special people who work extremely hard for us. Ann Shaw, Linda Cook, John Rivera, and Dave Groover. Now, this group of people, I've worked with John and Dave since I first came here, and Linda for quite some time, and Ian now for the last couple years. But this body could not do the fine work that it does without these people, and we are so lucky to have the quality of human beings that we have and the quality of lawyers. So I just wanted to acknowledge them and thank them for all their hard and diligent and really exceptional work. So thank you very much. Going to start doing that every day for him. No, thank you very much. It's really incredible staff we have. We are at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on House Bill 72. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 72, and that's Senate Message Number 261. As you recall, yesterday we were discussing the quarter or half mile setback from developments and residences. In the process of negotiating the difference between what we had as a quarter mile in this House and the half mile that they had on the Senate, They rather compromised on the distance between, instead of having just one or the other or splitting it with a percentage, they put 5.5 times the height of a tower. And if you look at the towers that are most prominent now, they're about 300 feet. And so what that does is it adds about 300 feet to what we had in our bill, and it's about 300 feet less than they asked for in theirs. But it did one other thing that I think is worthy of note, and that is that by putting it as a multiple of the heights of the towers, if the towers start to get higher, you would want them farther back for falling distance and that sort of thing. So that was a good step. And in turn, they put in a minimum in case they went lower. So I think this is a good conference committee report signed by everyone. I would urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number one report to House Bill 72. Majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo, Berger, Berger, Blake, Blickrey, Bonner, Bretzel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers excused, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Berger, Berger excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number one report to House Bill 72. Next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on House Bill 83.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 83, referencing the Senate Message Number 228. This is a little different, and I'd hope ask for your favorable vote. And this is a little different. We voted to not concur because there was a difference in the distance in this bill regarding provisions with sex offenders distance around our schools. And we originally had 2,000. The Senate reduced that distance to 1,000 feet. And really, as we talked more and more investigation, that is really the mean, the median, and mode around the country is right at 1,000 feet. And so we wanted the bill. We didn't want to fight over a few hundred feet. The main point, the rest of the amendments are really quite good on the Senate side. And so this, Mr. Speaker, is pursuant to Joint Rule 2-4, the House recedes from its non-concurrence and adopts the following Senate amendments. And I'd ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to House Bill 83. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 5 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to House Bill 83. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to Senate File 7. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of the Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 7 and ask for your aye vote. The change that was made during the conference committee with respect to the appropriation, we had a position of $300,000 that the Department of Ag could use for contracting for range assessment, and the other body had $100,000. So we split the difference, and we believe that will work fine for the ramp-up of this program. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to Senate File 7. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown. Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers excused, Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to Senate File 7. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on Senate File 13. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move adoption of the Joint Conference Committee Report on Senate File 13 and ask for your aye vote. Senate File 13 was the Senate file that dealt with economic analysis. On second reading in the House, we had some debate over adding socio to socioeconomic, and we felt that that was something that we wanted to do, and we put that amendment on, and with some additional research with respect to that word involving with the NEPA process, we begin to realize that maybe that wasn't a good idea, and the Senate didn't think so either. So this conference committee report would ask that you agree to take the word socio off of socioeconomic. And the second thing that it does, it reduces the funding back to the other body's position, which was $312,000 to ANI to get this program going. That's about $52,000 or so reduction what the House position was. But we also believe that the funding will work to get this program started. So we would ask that you vote aye on this Joint Conference Committee report on Senate File 13. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to Senate File 13. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger excused. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers excused. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 49 ayes, 7 noes, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 Report to Senate File 13. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on Senate File 18. Chairman Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on Senate File 18. We had quite a time. We went up there with 6 lawyers and lined up shoulder to shoulder and took on the Senate's lawyer in residency over there. And we finally reached the compromise that we could all agree with. So now, as limited liabilities companies stand with respect to 3 areas, distribution of profits, management, and distribution of profits upon dissolution, we have said the following. There's a hierarchy here of how that distribution is going to be made. First of all, is going to be under the terms and conditions of a written operating agreement if one exists. If one doesn't exist, the next level would be under the terms and conditions of a verbal operating agreement if there was one. And this act recognizes verbal operating agreements. The next tier from that down, if neither one of those apply, the next tier down is What tax status did the parties elect when they filed their tax return? And there is a check-the-box option method on the tax return now where a limited liability company can elect to be taxed any way that it wants to be taxed. And so if there was an election made on the tax return, the other two not counting, but an election was made on the tax return and it was not timely disputed by any of the members, that will be the method of distribution. If all three of those fail, then the bottom default, which we all agreed is just about impossible to happen unless somebody is a non-filer, unless they're not filing their tax returns, which would be a violation of the law in and of itself. But if it ever fell down to that fourth rung, it would be equal shares. And the philosophy for those equal shares was that in the genesis of limited liability companies, they were engrafted onto the law of partnership, and under the law of partnership, the divisions would be under equal shares. So I think it's a great solution. We were all happy with it, and I would urge you to vote aye on concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 18. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger, excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers excused, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Simlick, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 5 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 18. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 22, Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move Joint Conference Committee report number 1 to Senate File 22 and ask for your aye vote. If you remember, this is the bill that deals with reimbursement of medical expenses for active duty Wyoming National Guard members. There was a problem with the bill when it came over here with respect to the payment by third parties, and there was some contradictory language that we fixed here. And we fixed part of the problem, but not all the problem. And so what we did in conference committee is essentially deleted our amendment and rewrote it to totally fix the problem. And that was that the bill was really written to reimburse the officers and enlisted men for expenditures paid out by the Wyoming Military Department, which was certainly not the intent of the bill. So we fixed it and made clear that reasonable medical expenses paid by an officer or enlisted men are reimbursed, and those paid by third parties, such as other insurance companies and those sorts of things, are not. And so with that, I would move the report and ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 22. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo, Berger excused, Blake, Blickrey, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers excused, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Excuse me. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number one report on Senate File 22. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on Senate File 31. Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move the adoption of Joint Committee number one to Senate File 31 and ask for your no vote so that a new committee can be appointed to correct a drafting error if they caught at the last minute. So, again, I'd ask for your no vote.
Anyone else for their first time? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number one report to Senate File 31. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger excused. Blake.
No.
Blickrey.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers excused. Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. One aye, 55 noes, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur. By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee number one report to Senate File 31. The Conference Committee on Senate File 31 will be Semlick, Chairman, Moniz, and Wallace. Semlick, Moniz, and Wallace. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number one on Senate File 36, Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 23, referring to Senate File 36. Remember, we had considerable debate on this, and they didn't like the amendment that we sent over there, and so we went back to conference, and at least in my opinion, we came back with a better amendment. I think our concern was that Water 3 was not going to be reimbursed, but rather be a grant out of that for something that shouldn't go forth. The amendment says that it'll be put on the governor's. Governor would have to put that on his budget first line after we've reached the $155 million cap. Anything over that He'll have to put it on his budget. That doesn't mean it has to stay there. Neither did it mean anything had to stay there that was in the original amendment either once the legislature meets again. But it will have to be considered. There's a good chance that those funds will be reimbursed faster. Again, I would like to caution you on a tax on water accounts. If you want to look at your statutes, I'd like to have you look at Water 3 statutes. That's under 412.124, little d. It says no new dam with storage capacity of less than 2,000 acre feet or water or expansion of a dam with a storage capacity of less than 1,000 acre feet of water shall be funded with the funds from Water Development Account 3. It goes on to say that funds deposited in the Water Development Account 3 shall not be diverted from that account other than for the purpose of financing projects related to dam construction or expansion. What I skipped there was what it said without the approval of the legislature. And of course, that's the out. This kind of project should have been in the omnibus water bill, but because of that statute, it could not have been. So it was not considered by the Water Development Commission because they couldn't put it in because it was coming out of Water Account 3 that was not authorized by law except through the legislature. I'd also like to discuss with you just a little bit what happens to water accounts. $60 million in the last few years has been diverted for attorney fees, mostly for Bighorn and Flat River Flat River modification or the Pathfinder modification, $60 million that was diverted for attorney fees. Those should have come out of the Attorney General's office. A major portion of that was for endangered species. That sounds to me like endangered species is a purview of the game and fish, not of water accounts. $52 million in the early years of the 2000 was taken to fund the state engineer's office, complete funding instead of an agency budget. $52 million was taken out for that. This amendment, which I urge you to adopt, I think also sends a message to our Campbell County friends that they're going to have to find a different way than water development funds to fund their project. That's a $2 million-plus project, that there just isn't that money in water accounts. I think this does send that message. At least that's my feeling. And I would say that they could easily fund that. They only have the fifth penny in force right now. Using 2009 figures, if they put that sixth penny special purpose tax on, it would raise $35 million a year. Now, we know that sales tax has dropped off somewhat all over, but even that, they could pay for that project in 5-10 years with the sixth penny that many of us already have instituted in our other counties. They don't have the maximum mill levy in Campbell County yet. There would be another $5 million available on that. To say nothing of the $22 million we left there on recapture when they read the Constitution different than we did, constitutional amendment that we did. Over the years, I have the figures, $182 million has been appropriated out of water accounts that the department says was non-water projects. Now, as I read those, there's many of them that are water projects, in my estimation, so it isn't that amount. So again, I stress to you the dangers there. I think another factor is the AML funds. There's $100 million or something close to that out there that's sitting there in AML funds. If Campbell County isn't entitled to some of those funds, I don't know who is. They're sitting over the hill in what I call waiting for a project to go on in a hole. I call it a rat hole. Perhaps that's not the thing, but it's too late, and we need to get this project on the road. The Gillette people need to, before they can institute that sixth penny, they need to know how much they're going to have to institute. And so I think, in my opinion, the water funds are pretty well protected if this legislature continues to work and protect those. So I would urge your aye vote on concurrence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The chair gave you significant leeway there to roundabout to come to the concurrence recommendation. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr.
I'd like to keep the point to the concurrence, the committee report, rather than a broad range of issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And for my first time, I would like to urge the body to support this. And with some liberty, recognize our last speaker again for his last time at the podium to support water projects for the state of Wyoming.
Anyone else for their first time? And I do acknowledge, Chairman Anderson, your great support of water projects in Wyoming. The chair does not fail to recognize that. You have committed many, many thousands of hours to water projects in Wyoming, and your knowledge is vast. Anyone else for their first time? Second time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 36. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson. Filth excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simwick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, no to aye. Yagi, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 2 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 36. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 290, Mr. Speaker. Senate File 39, post-secondary education options. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 2, signed. Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
It's not on the floor yet. It's going to be distributed.
We will have another report coming out for distribution. Right now, we will do. We are at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. Mr. Reading Clerk.
House Enrolled Act number 57, being original House Bill 44, an act relating to taxation and revenue, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign it. House Enrolled Act number 57, being original House Bill number 44. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 58, being original House Bill number 61, an act relating to indigent civil legal services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 58, being original House Bill number 61. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 59, being original House Bill 65, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 59, being original House Bill number 65. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 60, being original House Bill number 89, an act relating to construction contracts with public entities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act number 60, being original House Bill number 89. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 61, being original House Bill 128, an act relating to health insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 61, being original House Bill number 128. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act number 62, being original House Bill number 18, an act relating to game and fish and the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 62, being original House Bill number 18. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 41, being original Senate File 40, an act relating to establishment of highways, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 41, being original Senate File number 40. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 42, being original Senate File 61, an act relating to health insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 42, being original Senate File number 61. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 43, being original Senate File 48, an act relating to professions and occupations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 43, being original Senate File number 48. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 44, being original Senate File 42, an act relating to school finance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 44, being original Senate File number 42. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 45, being original Senate File 20, an act relating to motor vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 45, being original Senate File number 20. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 46, being original Senate File 75, an act relating to school district employee benefits, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 46, being original Senate File number 75. I have so signed. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at that order of business of giving out some gifts, so I would like to ask my courtesy committee to come up and help me. And we're going to start with Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman, Madam Chairman. It's my honor and privilege to present the first gift this morning to our Minority Whip, Mary Throne. I guess she needs to come up here and get that. She's done a wonderful job for us this session. She's kept us in line, both our minority party and I think the entire House. The challenges of leadership are not easy. I know that from my work as chairman of the Journal Committee. But even under intense pressure, Mary has shined and done a wonderful job for us. So thank you, Mary.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members of the 60th, it is truly an honor for me to present this next gift to Minority Floor Leader Patrick Goggles. I met Patrick about a little over 3 years ago in Rollins at our caucus, and he's just been such an asset to me personally, and to our party, and to all of you. And he is truly one of Wyoming's native sons, born in Fort Washakie. And I just want to say that Black Coal, Yellow Calf, and Sharp Nose would be very proud at this moment right now. Thank you.
Next, we have Representative Pedersen.
Brothers and sisters, I give this next award to Madam Majority Whip, Lorraine Korberg. And I wanted to speak on this just really quickly. I had the good fortune of being appointed to Joint Appropriations Committee and sitting down the hallway. And as we listened to testimony for weeks and weeks and weeks, this is exactly the type of thing they did in the Russian gulag to people. But Lorraine came down unappointed, and I think it defines leadership. She came down to better understand the budget, sat all the way through every piece of testimony, every single day, took notes on everything that was said. And I think for that, you've been a good mentor to all of us, and I really appreciate all that you've done. Thank you.
Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's my privilege and honor to present the next gift to our Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Eddie B., Ed Buchanan. My first year down here, I was on Judiciary, and he was the chairman of the committee. And he basically modeled the way for a lot of us, and especially for me. He's a gentleman and a scholar. And I'm humbled and grateful to get to serve with them. So thank you, Ed.
Okay, for our final gifts, these are for Mr. Speaker. And the first gift is the normal. We always give a plaque, but I'm really pleased this year because for the first time, we decided to use our seal, the seal of the legislature. That has not been done before on the plaque, and I decided it was very fitting. It is a beautiful seal, and it's a color seal. And since Mr. Speaker has a bright future ahead and we don't know what seal he might be using soon enough, I wanted to make sure that we used the legislative seal. So, Mr. Speaker, if you'll come down. We have one more gift to give out, and this one is, again, for the speaker. And we try to pick out something personal. So I did a little snooping around to try to find something that I thought the speaker would really, really enjoy. And what I found out was the speaker actually has a great love for Native American beadwork. So let me get the gift. This is actually an antelope staff. This was done by Lynn McAdams, who's an artist, also the son of Eva McAdams, who's a well-known beater in the Eastern Shoshone. And the staff is embellished with stripes of mink and beadwork and is topped with antelope horns and pheasant feathers. And Mr. Speaker, I chose this, the staff. We chose this because a staff has three symbols. It's a staff, which is a walking stick, and I think that symbolizes your past. You've walked many roads, and you've arrived here. You've had wonderful people in your life who brought you to where you are. It also has a symbolism of a scepter. So the kings of old would hold scepters, and you have been our speaker for 2 years. It's a place of honor. It's a place that we gave you, and we're so grateful for your service to our body. And also, for your future, it can be used as a weapon, which I think you might need in the future. So, Mr. Speaker, thank you for your service.
Well, that's very beautiful. Eva McAdams, a wonderful artisan. And I hope I won't use it. I know that I will enjoy it and look at it, and it will remind me of the many fond memories I have of the legislature. So thank you very much. That's great. Appreciate it. Well, I might use it, but not after today. Ladies and gentlemen, the House will stand at ease for a moment. Representative Stewart, you may have privilege of the floor. Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Edmonds.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Sure, please proceed.
On the phone, and because he's not here, he didn't get presented with his gift, but we have the Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Frank Phillips. So let's all give him a shout-out. He can hear.
Good morning, Frank. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're well. Tell him he's very welcome. So the House is at ease for a moment. Representative Stewart, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege and your privilege as well to welcome some guests today from the Upper North Platte Valley, some friends of mine, and I'm sure they will be your friends as well instantly today. And I'm going to stick to the script for just a minute just to make sure I don't forget anything. And performing for us today in the House this morning is someone who might be Wyoming's youngest cowgirl poet, Cora Wood. Cora is from Encampment, of course. We're neighbors. And has been featured in the New York Times. In addition, at 8 years old, she has already released a 7-song, 3-poem CD called Cora's Cowgirl Yodel. Cora has been singing and writing poems since she was in preschool. She's 8 years old now. Oh, I did say that. Please help me by welcoming this very talented young woman to the floor. And first, let me add by saying that this family has also been very involved in an event going on in Encampment for several years called the Cowboy Gathering. They have been the star of the show in my mind. And also, I have been blessed and very fortunate to be able to walk with what I would call one of the angels. You know, we all get to recognize an angel that gets to walk among us as we serve our public, and it helps us recognize what makes Wyoming special and why we serve. And I can assure you, knowing people like Cora and this great family, it has kept me grounded when I'm over here. So now, please join me in welcoming my friends, little Cora. Someday I won't get to call her little Cora, but today we can still call her little Cora and her mom, Lori.
Thank you. I'm going to sing a song that I wrote. It was my first song that I wrote, and it's called Cora's Cowgirl Yodel.
Cowgirls don't cry, cowgirls don't lie, always be the best that you can be. Sit up straight, ride tall in the saddle, that's how my daddy taught me. We go trotting out in the morning, a cactus in bloom, and a yodel out a little tune. Yodel, oh, oh, oh. The clouds fly high, the tumbleweeds roll by, we work in the saddle every day. We round up the cows, me and Chester know how to stay out of the gate. Cowboys love to hear me sing out loud, so I yodel out my little tune. Yodel, oh, 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 oh. At the end of the day, I feed Chester some hay. I walk out and put my saddle away. Walk out of the barn, jump into my mama's arms, and tell her all about my day. About all the cows and the hard ride we had. And I'll sing her my cowgirl yodel tune. Yodel-ay, ay, ay, yodel-oh, oh, 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 tee. Ay, oh, oh, tee, yodel-ay, yodel-ay.
let's bring them back to have them do one more.
I'm going to do a song called Oak Grady.
It's written by Dan O'Brien.
And it was written by Dan O'Brien. Oak Grady sure is lazy, only cooks cornbread and gravy. But if you like your coffee hot, grab a cup from Cookie's pot. Cookie, he was once a cowboy. He could ride and rope and hellboy. That was then and this is now. Cookie's job is slinging chow. Yodel, oh, 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 hey, hey, yodel, hey, 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 yodel, hey, 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 oh, 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 hey, oh, oh, gee. Cookie don't have much to say. He's up before the break of day. Night heroes, smoke or two. Pick guitar and sing the blues. Now Cookie, he once had a lady. They were young, but they were crazy. She left him like the river flows. That's the way this story goes. Cookie don't have much to say. He's up before the break of day. Night heroes, smoke or two. Pick guitar and sing the blues. Oh, Cook Grady sure is lazy. He only cooks cornbread and gravy. But if you like your coffee hot, grab a cup from Cookie's pot. Yodel, hey, yodel, oh, oh, yodel, hey, gee. Yodel, hey, oh, yodel, oh, oh, yodel, hey, hoo, hoo, hoo. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Cora, and Mom, that was wonderful. Could hear a few more of those. I would take a brief privilege of the floor and introduce you again to Nicholas and Mackenzie Simpson right there at my desk and their fine mother, Debbie. It's nice to have you guys here. Thanks. That's the best birthday present of all, right there. Representative Lockhart, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the privilege. On my right, your left in the balcony is one of the followers of what we do down here, and that's my lovely wife of nearly 50 years. She married young. And she usually, at this point, holds up a sweater that she's knit so that I could tell you the story. If you stick to your knitting, you get somewhere. She didn't bring it down with her today. So, but give her a big hand. She tells me she likes what we do down here.
We're at that order of business of Joint Conference Committee reports. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 39. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move first Conference Committee report to Senate on Senate File 30 or message number 264 on Senate File 39 and ask you to vote aye. And Mr. Speaker, this was crafted by two of the gentlemen from the floor of the House And I would like to turn over for his first time the microphone to Representative Lubnow at this time.
Representative
Lubnow. And he'll be followed by another one.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you'll recall, the objection to this program was that it was a bureaucracy in search of a problem, where the Community College Commission could insert itself in the agreements between school districts and secondary education providers for dual and concurrent enrollment. We've softened that to the point where instead of complying with minimum requirements imposed by rules and regulations, the Community College Commission does what the community college system should do, which is that the agreement shall comply with the minimum educational standards defined by the commission. The problem was that people were getting college credit for courses, and some of them didn't meet the minimum educational standards. So we gave the Community College Commission the ability to define minimum educational standards, but took out all of the bureaucratic stuff about imposing themselves by regulation between the schools as to the requirements. Then we also said that the report shall be based on the policy and guidelines contained on section 2 on the report. There's a reporting requirement on page 3 of the bill, and what this does is says that the report shall be based on the guidelines that we do a survey for. One of the objections of the good friend from Sheridan County was that we were doing a survey, and we'd already decided what the results would be by the first half of the bill. And we debated about that and debated about that and debated about that and decided that this was the best process that we could come up with as a committee. I would urge your concurrence now. This is a lot better bill than it was when it came to us before.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the concurrence of the amendment, I wanted to speak to you to let you know that we tried to represent the House as being in favor of concurrent as well as joint enrollment and to not overlook the program that is currently in existence quite successfully in most of the schools in the state of Wyoming, and that's the AP courses. So with that discussion and the expression of the House that we not only support but favor it, the study then took on a different perspective and one that I hope is acceptable to the House as it has been amended.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 39. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers excused. Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
excuse.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
excuse.
Stewart excused, Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 6 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File 39. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two bills outstanding, Senate File 31, Senate File 25. We are going to stand at ease for probably 45 minutes. But while we do that, Representative Ross Dirks has a song he has written. And then apparently he and Representative Barbuto may also sing a song. But Representative Dirks, we'll turn it over to you.
Mr. Speaker, I very much appreciate this time in front of the House of Representatives. Some of you have the sheet in front of you. Since we're at ease, I'm going to use some props. In the discussion of what we should do with our culture, count me in among those who would rather save our culture before we change our culture. And what you see before you is the result of what I saw last July 19th on the front of the Casper Star Tribune. It says, "Leaving Lavoie, rancher builds on ghost town site." And you can access this on the internet now. You can Google Lavoie, Wyoming, and it's on the second page of results that you can get this exact article that stars the representative from House District 58 and how she has purchased the site of New Lavoie. And in your handout, you can see a little bit of the story of Lavoie. It was literally moved from one site to another. And I'm sure the representative from House District 58 can fill us in on some more details, but I found it pretty fascinating that there was a town among many in our history that was literally moved. And I tried to think about what it would be like to have been a child in old Lavoie, and to hear the news of what was going on, and to try to present this as much as possible via a child's understanding of the event. And if somebody wants to read this article and get to some more of the details, I'll have it. And again, you can access it online. And so we'll just give this a shot, and we very much appreciate your time. We heard Mama crying softly as we tiptoed down the stairs. We peeked around the corner, pretending we weren't there. She knew she had to tell us. She was trying to find the words about some things she knew were happening at the place where Daddy worked. Some men in dress suits drove into town in their fancy Model A. And they had some important meeting that seemed to last all day. And when it all was over, all the people gathered round to learn the men were planning to move our little town. No more picnics down on Teapot Creek or fishing in the ponds. No more pitching shoes on summer afternoons behind the Ford garage. No more Saturday nights when the keen blue lights would shine in the old pool hall. And the piano man would have them dancing all night long. Well, it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. Daddy says there's just some things you can't avoid. We'll pack the bunk beds, the kitchen table and chairs, and throw in a couple of toys. 'Cause it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. Yes, it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. When Grandpa Jack first moved us back in the spring of 21, the families all were coming in and the boom had just begun. And we could hear the trucks and smell the dust as they rumbled night and day down the road to take the oil to people out of state. Now the people from the company say they've found a whole new place. They're moving tents and buildings. They might even move the name. And they're gonna build a swimming pool with a great big diving board. And they say that nearly everything will be better than before. No more picnics down on Teapot Creek or fishing in the ponds. No more pitching shoes on summer afternoons behind the Ford garage. And no more Saturday nights when the keen blue lights would shine in the old pool hall. And the piano man would have them dancing all night long. Well, it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. Daddy says there's just some things you can't avoid. We'll pack the bunk beds, kitchen table and chairs, and throw in a couple of toys. 'Cause it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. Yes, it looks like we'll be leaving Lavoie. Thank you, House. No. No, 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 no.
Are you sure?
No, I don't want to sing.
Could you do another one for you?
No.
If I asked.
No, I don't think they're going to do Hogrand. I'm going to end. Maybe later at some frivolous time. But they Hogrand says, did you say it's peculiar? I appreciate it. Thank you much. Thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Representative Ross. I asked if I could say a word or two about Lavoie. My father was there in that area in the 1920s, and that's how our grandparents and everybody kind of knows each other. The Harshmans, the Sheppersons, and boy, they're tough. Dad had a C melody sax. Some of you talked about it. He said he switched out of that real quick. He went to an E flat right away because that was the way to go. And what he said, and I want to bring this up to you, and how they got to know lots of people there, was that at one time, what Ross just saying about, and you accompanied with, that there were over every night around 50 to 60 musicians playing in those areas around Salt Creek, Lavoie, and so on. When you drive through there, you think about that. And you can imagine what that was like. Thank you.
I just like to take a minute, if you'll indulge me. It's a song I'd like to play for a friend out there who may not be returning here next year, and I know it's her favorite, and we haven't had a chance to play it all session. We've talked about it, but it just never worked out timing-wise, so just real quick. Thank you.
Will somebody please tell the representative from Sublette County that I'm standing up? I bought an old book in this fair city at a very popular book sale, and I was thumbing through it the other day, and I found this little poem, it's actually an obituary, and I wanted to share it with you. Mr. Speaker, sir, our fellow citizen, Mr. Silas Higgins, who was lately a member of this branch of the legislature, is dead. And he died yesterday in the forenoon. He had the brown critters. Bronchitis was meant, and was an uncommon individual. His character was good up to the time of his death, and he never lost his voice. He was 56 years old and was taken sick before he died at his boarding house, where board could be had for $1.75 a week, washing and lights included. He was an ingenious critter, and in the early part of his life, he actually had a father and mother. He was an officer in our state militia since the last war, and he was brave and polite. And his uncle, Timothy Higgins, belonged to the Revolutionary War and was commissioned as a lieutenant by General George Washington, first president and commander-in-chief of the Army and of the Navy of the United States, who died at Mount Vernon, deeply lamented by a large circle of friends on the 14th of December, 1799, or thereabouts, and was buried soon after his death with military honors, and several guns were burst in firing salutes. Sir, Mr. Speaker, General Washington presided over the great Continental Sanhedrin and political meetings that formed our Constitution, and he was indeed a first-rate good man. He was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. And though he was in favor of the United States Bank, he was a friend of education, and from that he said, his farewell address. I have no doubt that he would have voted for the tariff of 1846 had he been alive and hadn't been dead beforehand. His death was considered at the time as rather premature on account of it being brought on by a very hard cold. Now, Mr. Speaker, such being the character of General Washington, I motion that we wear crepe around the left arm of this legislature and adjourn until tomorrow morning as an emblem of our respects for the memory of S. Higgins, who is dead and died of the brown critters yesterday afternoon. Thank you.
Everyone knows the group, the association. Maybe Seth doesn't, but they did a little song called Wendy. Well, Joe and I come up with a song. We just insert the name Colin for Wendy. Everybody sing along if you know the tune.
Peeking out from under a stairway, calling a name that's lighter than air. Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's Colin. Who's tripping down the streets of the city, looking at everybody he sees? Who's reaching out to capture a moment? Everyone knows it's Colin. And Colin has stormy eyes that fly
clash at the sound of lies. And Colin has wings to fly above the clouds, above the clouds. Out from under a stairway, calling a name that's lighter than air. Who's bending down to give us a rainbow? Everyone knows it's Colin. Tripping down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody he sees. Who's reaching out to capture a moment? Everyone knows it's Colin. And Colin has stormy eyes that flash at the sound of lies. And Wendy, and Colin has wings to fly above the clouds, above the clouds. He gaveled us out. Sorry.
No,
thank you.
Who's
tripping down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody he sees? Who's reaching out to capture a moment? Everyone knows it's Colin. Who's tripping down the streets of the city, smiling at everybody he sees? Who's reaching out to capture a moment? Everyone knows it's Colin.
That's really special. I appreciate it, guys. You've probably been working on that for about a month, haven't you?
That's the first time we did.
Well, thanks so much. That was great.
Are we back to work now, or we got time?
No. Is there any other talent?
We've got others.
Doesn't have to be talent.
Yeah.
This isn't talent, but it is something, as we've been sitting here, that I recalled is one of my very favorite stanzas of any poem. It's Robert Frost. And for all of you, as our lives are changing and we're going forward, no matter what happens in this election season and things change, I want to share with you the last verse from the poem Reluctance. Ah, when to the heart of man was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and bow and accept the end of a love or a season. Thanks, everybody. We love each other. This has been a great 60th session of the Wyoming State Legislature.
I thought I would, I was asked to share a couple of things with you guys. And so these are some old poems. And the first one was, it's called Odyssey with Cows. Cows in the time of plenty is an anomaly we lean to. For we have wandered long and searched for such solaces as we could find, mired in the slough of difficult circumstances, sloshing between the desperate but full-bellied times of cows with no money and the even more disturbing and trying times of money but no cows. Our odyssey has been, indeed, a long sojourn with many changes of fortune, Thanks to those Scotch and Irish tyranny escapees who slipped their chains and lurched into this open land, swallowing it whole and violent. So now the land itself exudes from the pores of generations. Thus our forebears preserved an ancient Celtic insistence on self-determination, propagated an archaic devotion to the powers and pleasures of nature. What I want to know is, in this particular multi-generational odyssey with cows, where is that goddamn golden fleece? Maybe we should reconsider sheep. With my apologies to the decorum of the room. And this is called the Great Grandchildren of the West, and I think it's true for lots of folks in this part of the world. We are the children of the children of the children who fought each other, red and black, yellow and white, chaos of humanity and directions, mutual maternity more powerful than violence, a horseback. And now we come dancing to the center, toes digging for water, fingers tickling the sky, music of our many cultures keeping time with wind and thunder. The multitude does not concern us. We stand with creatures of the open, cattle, cougar, caballo, badger, antelope, and prairie dog. And like the owl, we hoot above the grama, sage, and prickly pear, grassland tapestry, the home of those who seek the breast of birthing earth. It's what we know that makes us different, the knowledge of our nakedness, the elder lore of grazing and the hunt, that we are moisture-born and die alone, that only things of import happen and the seasons cannot be stopped. We measure our wealth in units of space, and our lives by our far-flung friends. And it may be that we are neither family, nor clan, nor tribe, yet we are something no one word describes. As our fortunes ride from dust dry, thin, to snowpack deep and back again, the breezes clean us, no fence can hold us, and we are the great grandchildren of the West.
During this session, I've been known to get up and making a quotation once in a while based on some of the things I read. One quotation that we all have some familiarity with has an interesting background to it because it's a message that was written by the artist to the Queen of England. Kind of surprises you when you consider that it's the Elephant Boy. I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. I send them over land and sea. I send them east and west. But after they have worked for me, I'll give them all a rest. I let them rest from 9 to 5, for I am busy then, as well as breakfast, lunch, and tea, for they are hungry men. But different folk have different views. I know a person small. She keeps 10 million serving men who get no rest at all. She sends them abroad on her own affairs from the second she opens her eyes. 1 million hows, 2 million wheres, and 7 million whys. maybe we, as in the government, might examine our whys.
Does anybody over by the doorway there have a good baritone voice? Sixteen tons? One night George Bagby was jamming with Tennessee Ernie Ford, and they came up with this song. Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number one coal. And the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when it was drizzling rain. A fighting and a trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Ain't no high time woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Let him go.
See me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. One fist of fire and the other one steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and a deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, would you come up, please? Folks, we'll stand at ease for a little while longer. We're waiting for the paperwork on two concurrences, and then we'll complete our business, and then we will recess until 2 and come back at 2. And we'll blame it on the Senate because that's what they're doing. They have recessed until 2 o'clock. So it looks like we have some paperwork here. We will, not the right one. So we'll just stand at ease for a little while longer and wrap up these two final bills.
I could have your attention, please. Your attention, please. We have with us a very distinguished, not extinguished, poet that's been standing out there at the door opening it for you guys who can't open it yourselves. We've invited him to share a little of his poetry, the insurmountable Keith Browns.
Thank you, thank you. I was going to say Mr. Speaker for my first time, but I guess... but before I start the poetry, there's something I want to tell you folks from the staff. We want to tell you what we really think of you. Don't leave, don't leave. It's not often... Now, there's one you haven't heard. It's not often that you get the recognition that you deserve. We know how hard you work, the long hours you put in here at the Capitol, because we're here much of the same time. We don't work the same long hours you do after each day's session. We can only imagine what you must endure to keep constituents, lobbyists, and home folks happy when you're off the court, so to speak. You get here early and with a smile. You hit that door, you're pleasant, you're affable, and you're courteous. Although the demands of your job are taxing, you're kind and gracious and grateful, and you forgive our faults and shortcomings. Sometimes you disdain the questions, comments, and badgering from constituents, media, and lobbyists, but you go out there and you meet them with a smile and a handshake. You are the first to give a standing recognition to others, but seldom get the same recognition for your own hard work. We on staff understand and appreciate the hard work you do, the sacrifices you make, but sometimes we don't understand why you're so hard to find. We especially appreciate your demeanor. You're kind, you're considerate, and we want you to know that it's good to be appreciated. You are indeed, ladies and gentlemen. You smile, you say please, and you say thank you. You are the epitome of the cowboy way and the Wyoming way, and we're proud to be on your staff. And we know that this is an election year, and certainly we wish you all well. Now, if you would please just sit there and enjoy the recognition while our staff gives you a hand in appreciation. I'm going to unload a little cowboy poetry on you here, and there's been some pretty tough acts to follow. But Representative Hammonds alluded to a quote from the great poet Robert Frost, who, among other things, said, "Poetry without rhyme and meter is kind of like playing tennis with a net down." And that's what I like about cowboy poetry, because it always has rhyme and meter. And I'm going to bring back another one that many of you have heard before, and some of you kind of relate to it. I call it The Ride. "'Twas a dark and stormy day out on the range where old Slim was riding to pick up strays. There were big, tall clouds in that blue Wyoming sky. They were dark on the bottom, but white way up high. This change in the weather wasn't lost on Slim. What was left of them patches of blue were getting mighty thin. The clouds are getting closer and blacker and thicker, and Slim cussed himself because he knew he didn't have his slicker. I'm going to get wet, sure as a devil, Slim thought. That lightning flashed and thunder clapped and scared both Slim and Mount. The horse jumped and crow hopped, but Slim stuck there like glue. Settle down, you ornery cuss. I don't need to be both wet and afoot, too. That lightning bolt and thunder clap were the first of many that day. That flash of light and terrible sound sent that horse on his way. Both hands on the horn, one foot in the stirrup, this ride wasn't for show. With one rein dragging, old Slim was hollered, whoa, you son of a gun, whoa. Did you notice how I cleaned that up? He was running like the devil, missing gopher holes just by inches. That horse was trying to lose Slim's saddle and cinches. That cowboy was doing his best to hang on, of course. It was a ride that could have been on wide world of sports. slid along that horse from ears to rump, afraid to stay on and too scared to jump. They ran up hills and down the other side, old Slim hanging on for a memorable ride. With a bit in his teeth, that horse had his head. He ran full tilt, not looking ahead. Slim was a-cussing and sawing on the reins, just a little concerned that his drawers would be stained. That horse was a runner. He just wouldn't quit, hauling Slim through the rain with a horn in his grip. Now, out here in the West, we don't get much precip. But when it comes all at once, you just wouldn't believe it. Well, this was one of those where the skies dumped a load. A real frog strangler, the kind of which stories are told. This gully washer had filled up the draw. There was mud and water clear to the top of that natural trough. Slim started thinking. His worst fears he dreaded. It was soon apparent where that fool horse was headed. Oh, please stay out of that gully, Slim begged the horse. But the cayuse ran faster and ignored Slim, of course. Slim knew where the bank was, but it didn't matter. She was running a level full with mud and water. The place where they went in was pretty deep, and the horse walked on water for the first few feet. Then down he went with a terrible kersplat, and all you could see the top of his hat. It ain't even Saturday, and I'm taking a bath, Slim thought, and if I don't get out quick, it'll be my last. He quit the horse with a mighty lunge and popped out of the water all soaked up like a sponge, swam a few strokes and soon reached the bank and grabbed a sagebrush and said a quick thanks. The horse popped up and eyeballed old Slim, turned right around and started to swim. And then the horse crawled out on the other side, and Slim hunkered down to sigh of his wounded pride. When the rain stopped and the sun warmed up Slim, he swore that horse was laughing at him. Then the horse left, just decided to skedaddle. Where the cinches broke, they found parts of the saddle. Slim slogged through the mud as he walked back to the ranch. I'll kill that damn horse if I ever get the chance. Well, since Slim's still punching cows, his hair's whiter, not thicker. And on good days or bad, he always has his slicker. Now when folks ask about the horse that washed his hide, he said, "Well, the horse was in charge. I was just along for the ride." Thank you. I'm going to unload another short one here on you. You know, cowboys like to dance, and I do too, and I couldn't help but pen this one I call Belt Buckle Shining. I like to trip the light fantastic. I know my way around the floor. When it comes to dancing, I ain't a spastic, and ladies been known to ask for more. I like to do the Terpsichorean arts. There's nothing can compare. When I'm dancing with my sweetheart, we make a pretty darn good pair. I like to have an arm full of women. I like to dance up close. Cheek to cheek, close to abdomen. Don't worry about stepping on toes. Belt buckle shining is quite respectable. No steps left to chance. When it comes to dancing, you have to be connectable. And real cowboys don't line dance. This is about a little meteorological event that rarely but sometimes does happen in Wyoming called wind. I was riding fence when it started blowing, a natural occurrence here in Wyoming. The wind she blew, the dust she flew, and I couldn't see for a minute or two. My hat was pulled down to where it hurt my ears, the dust making my eyes fill with tears. The wind was a stiff one, blowing hard, you see. It blew the shade from under the trees. My horse turned her backside into the breeze. My chaps were flapping way out from my knees. I had to tie the tail down tight on my mount to keep the wind from blowing the bit out of her mouth. We quit fixing fence because it got worse. We went home backwards, my horse in reverse. When we got to the barn, me and the horse both numb from leaning into the wind, we walked out of plumb. A cousin from the east, well-groomed and respectable, stood in the house and witnessed this spectacle. "Always blow like this?" he asked, as I come in from the yard. "Well, shucks, no," I reply. "Sometimes it blows hard." You might recognize this one. I did it 4 or 5 years ago. The lobby has to be renamed. Its use just ain't the same. It's no longer a place to loiter, and folks come here to reconnoiter. They come here to lie in wait, to catch a representative at the gate, or send in lots of notes, hoping to get them to change their votes. Constituents, lobbyists, and PACs have lots of questions and favors to ask. There's lots of special and individual needs. Vote for it
or against it, please. All this goes on outside the door because they can't get in here on the floor. So we pack them in and they shove and they push and they lie in wait, ready to ambush. Representatives maneuver through the crowd. Folks holler their names out loud. Because our members run that gauntlet, ambush alley is what we'll call it. Now, this one I give you with all due respect to Dr. Seuss, and it's about that word that just keeps coming back in here. Bringer is a word frequently heard whose meaning is obscured and many think absurd. Now, sometimes in debate, when we hear some orate and we watch them gesticulate as they articulate about one of their mates, they call the bringer. When a major has a bringer, it must be a zinger or another humdinger who's been run through a ringer or a folk singer or a right winger or a left winger, but never a mud slinger. It must be a sponsor, or it could be an author or a father or a daughter or a schemer or a dreamer or with considerable demeanor, or it could be an intervener or a gleaner or a screamer or perhaps a daydreamer. I always thought that bringer was something that you said when you had it in your head to take a little chance on a new romance, ask a lady to a dance, and you would say that you would bring her. So what is bringer? Is it a clinker or a stinker or a free thinker? We ask a libertarian, a sectarian, a vegetarian, a librarian, and a grammarian. Some say it's a cancer or a dancer or a freelancer or an enhancer, but we still don't have an answer. And finally, this is the one you've been waiting for because it's the last one. And I penned this yesterday out in the lobby there regarding the budget session. Let's consider the laws on LLCs. Do we change them or let them be? What about those liens? Do we change them too? I know about me, but I'm not sure about you. We must have a culture change to make this work. And if you text while driving, you must be a jerk. Let's get down to the budget and save for a rainy day. And let's stick it to the feds and make them pay. If we get a challenge when we change our stance, one of our colleagues comments on the difference. There's always a fallback position, an anomaly, when you admit, I'm not above a little hypocrisy. You have to push back and tell the feds you can't come to Wyoming to mess with our heads. We'll set our own standards for gun control because firearms are close to the soul. I don't have any skin in this game, but be sure you don't call them by name. Like Rodney Pete, who said he's retiring, and you can bet he'll leave still smiling. Other changes have come to the floor with two new members here on the floor. Sue Ann retires as a supervisor now that she's become older and wiser. Midwives and health care, and you've heard my rant, and that awful word bringer is still a miscreant. A penalty for not wearing safety belts just has to pass. I thought a safety belt was a shot in a clean glass. If insomnia has affected your dreams, you can always go back and talk about liens. But a question comes I have to ask. Are country lawyers subject to wind tax?
Thank you, Keith. Thank you. Pick up your stipend at the LSO office.